Hi everyone, this is Lauren Winans, and you're tuned in to Blitzburg Radio, presented by my favorite Steeler site, SteelerAddicts.com. Be sure and check out my latest single and website, LaurenWinans.com. And now, on with the show. Here are your hosts, Blitzburg Rock City and Steel Dad.
All right, everyone, welcome to Blitzburg Radio, presented by SteelerAddicts.com. My name is Matt. He is Mark. What's up?
Oh, man, I'll tell you what's up. Another victory that is three in a row, and this one just so much adversity and so many little things going against us. I had to kind of pinch myself several times last night to actually realize we won that game. It was so bizarre.
Yeah, definitely was. I know you and I were texting, especially in the first half, and then like in the third quarter, I'm like, what the hell's going on, blah, 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 and then we're going off, and then all of a sudden, oh my God, we're in the lead, and then, you know, before you know it, we're running the clock out. So, yeah, it worked out pretty good. It was a crazy victory. Steelers winning 24-20 on the road in New York against the defending champs, despite all of the adversity that was against them, not just with the travel plans, which I think was a bit overblown, but yeah, you know, that's what we do. But then, of course, you know, everything going on in New York and, you know, the city rallying around the Giants and, you know, Lord Goodell there himself for the game for at least part of it. So it was a crazy thing. The Steelers definitely came to play, you know, despite shooting themselves in the foot a few times and getting shot by Bill Levy a few times. Things worked out and they were able to win the game. So it was a good win. Steelers are at 5-3, sole possession of second place and gunning for the Ravens in 2 weeks. So, things are looking up. Overall, though, just to kind of start things out, you know, I think one of the things I noticed last night right off the bat was, especially early on, is that the defense came to play last night. They showed up early. It was a scoreless first quarter for both teams. But then in the second quarter, you know, the Steelers picked up 10, the Giants 14 off of some seriously bogus calls. But despite all that, you know, the Steelers defense hung in, and last night was a big night overall.
You know, I think we are in a period right now of adjustment when we as fans start recognizing this defense a little bit. And let's face it, I know you and I have been more than critical at times of LeBeau and this defense, in the sense that, not that it's old, but that they just don't get the pressure. And so therefore that puts more pressure on the DBs to cover and to tackle and to make plays that maybe they normally wouldn't have had to. And we, you know, I know you and I also talked about, you know, this really isn't Blitzburg anymore. What it is, though, is it's a defense that is really starting to come together. I think you're getting guys like Casey Hampton healthy, and he just seems to play a little better each week. I thought Kiesel was a little more effective yesterday, and Hood had some penetration at times. And even, you know, Woodley had his presence was felt as the game wore on. And certainly you can't say enough about the secondary and the way that they're playing right now. So it's a different defense if you're a Pittsburgh Steelers fan. But I love the aggressiveness at the end of the game. And I think this is a really good step in the right direction.
Yeah, most definitely. I mean, you're right. This is not going to be a team that gets 50 sacks on a season anymore. I mean, I just don't see that coming any time soon. There's too many players that are hurting in and out of the lineup. You know, there's a lot of young players. There's a lot of adjusting on the part of older players. This is not going to be a team where, you know, you're going to be able to count on them getting multiple sacks all the time. But they seem to be slowly but surely getting some consistent pressure. And I noticed last night, you know, the pocket was collapsing just a little bit more each time. And, of course, Eli Manning is a master at extending plays. I mean, Ben is the best, but Eli's probably second. And, you know, I believe Woodley had a sack, and I think Timmons had one. But overall, they weren't crazy on the sacks, but they did get enough pressure to force Eli into some high throws, some low throws. Of course, the Ike Taylor interception. So, yeah, I think you're right. This is where the defense hopefully starts to get on a roll. They've had three solid games in a row. They're starting to get some turnovers here. They're starting to make plays at the end of the game. But I guess I tell you, dude, going into this game, I was worried because this was a huge monster test for the Steelers. Obviously, the toughest opponent they played all year, and I was excited to see them rise to the challenge. Guys like Keenan Lewis, who just had an absolute monster game despite the pass interferences. Ike Taylor got his first interception of the year. Woodley got a sack. Harrison was pretty much held in check, but he did get some pressure. But you're right, overall, this defense is starting to show signs that, hey, we're back. We're just not the old Blitzburg. We're something else. I'm not sure what we're called right now, but we're something.
Yeah, I don't know what the name is either. Harrison's kind of funny. I know he talks each week that he feels like he's getting closer and closer, and he, you know, he really doesn't have the leverage that he once did. But I tell you where he is being very important is in the running area, because he has gone from his first week back, I thought he really struggled at setting the edge, and now all of a sudden he's able to do that. There were several times last night when Ahmad Bradshaw looked like he was going to bounce it out, and he was kind of forced back in because of the play of Harrison and a few other guys. So, you know, these guys are all recognizing that they've got to make some adjustments. And, you know, certainly, as you mentioned, Lewis had, one real bad pass interference call that clearly was on him. But that first one was just atrocious. And if any time Mike Taylor gets an interception, it's a moment of celebration. Always has been with Ike. But you just gotta like the vibe on this team, and I don't want to get too excited just simply because the NFL is such a week to week game of matchups now, and it really doesn't matter how great the team is, because if you lose the matchups individually, you're in some trouble. But right now we are just really rolling, and God, is it good to see.
Yeah, it is. I'll tell you, those pass interference calls, obviously the second one was legit. I mean, Keenan, you know, he never got his head around. I think he had a hold of the jersey or the arm. So that one was legitimate. You know, it sucks it happened, but that's what happens when you throw the ball all the time now in the league. But that first one, my God, I mean, did he even touch the receiver at all in that coverage? I mean, I think he might have grazed him or breathed on him the wrong way or something. But, I mean, what in the world was the official looking at? Because no matter how you looked at it, it wasn't even close to pass interference. It wasn't even incidental contact.
No, and I'll tell you what, they really need, and I know they do most years, but they've got to look at this penalty, because these games today they're so much decided by one play or two plays. I mean, to have a pass interference call of 41 yards, and they changed the overtime rule basically because of that, where they said, look, if a team gets a big pass interference penalty, they go down, they kick a field goal, game over. So they've changed that rule now to where each team gets a possession. And why isn't it as important in the regular 60 minutes of play? Because, you know, the college rule is much more appropriate. You give them the 15 yards, you give them the first down, fair enough, I got it. But, man, those are just debilitating penalties, especially when they're not even penalties.
I know, and you're right. That's something we've been screaming about for a long time is, either A, make certain penalties reviewable plays. You know, all personal fouls should be reviewable, and maybe certain pass interferences. I mean, I don't know. You're opening up a can of worms. But I think when it's a 15-yard penalty, you damn well better be able to review it and make the right call. I mean, now, obviously, Bill Levy can't make the right call even when he is looking at it. But generally speaking, you know, I mean, you're right. I mean, some of these young guys coming out of college now, I mean, they can heave the ball 60 yards in the air. I mean, you're talking about a potential 60-yard penalty on one play in a close game. And all of a sudden, you know, if you're at the 20, you know, all of a sudden you're in field goal range, game over before you even get to overtime. So I hate it. I'm okay with the 15 yards, maybe even a 10 yard with an automatic first down. But still, you get a 5-yard penalty and an automatic first down for holding, and that's not even anything ridiculous. But yet you're going to call a spot foul on something that I would say is probably 50% of the time majorly controversial, and most of the time it's incidental contact. I hate it. I've always hated it. And the NFL, You know, I mean, I know that Goodell hates defenses, but my God, I mean, at least, I mean, give these guys a fighting chance. The receivers now are so fast. The quarterbacks are big. They've got super strong arms, and everybody's throwing the ball. And these cornerbacks are out on an island doing all they can. And right now, you know, if you even touch the guy the wrong way, I mean, it's a PI, and all of a sudden your backs are against the wall.
Did you buy into the conspiracy theory yesterday? I mean, you know, let's face it. This game, I argued all week that it should be at the minimum. It should have been moved to tonight. I thought when you're canceling NBA games, you're canceling the New York City Marathon because people don't have homes. They're flooded. They're powerless. They're waterless in terms of fresh water. You know, even right around the Meadowlands, MetLife Stadium there, and it just reeked of me to me that this is all of Goodell saying we got to get this game in, and then he shows up and does these photo ops with first responders, and then the penalties start, and then the reviews start, and it just did you feel at all like this thing was just not meant to be last night?
Well, of course I did. I mean, I'm a bit of a conspiracy theorist anyways, and I was listening to Cooler Talk last night with Joe Bendel, and Bendel on the Steelers postgame show always calls it like it is, and he was doing some tongue-in-cheek stuff about Goodell hates the Steelers and all that, and I firmly believe without a shadow of a doubt that Goodell does not like the Pittsburgh Steelers. I don't care what Rooney's own the team. I don't care how much they helped him get this job as being commissioner. He does not like the Steelers, and I tell you, when the team decided not to sign that new CBA and they were the only team to do so, I mean, that's just a slap in the face to Goodell. And I'm telling you, he can't ever write, you know, blatantly come out and say that he doesn't like the Steelers or whatever. But I firmly believe that any chance he does get to stick it to Pittsburgh in some kind of backhanded, inadvertent way, he's going to take it. But you're right. The photo ops with the first responders were ridiculous. This was all that whole the NFL cares about the community. You know, we want to give them a glimmer of hope. Let's all rally for a few hours and forget our problems, and then, you know, we can go back to not having any power and not being able to take a shower or use our cell phone or anything. I hated it. I think it was dumb. If anything, move it to a neutral site and, you know, call, you know, I mean, that would have been the best thing. Move it to a neutral site, honor everybody's game ticket. If you can get there, you get there. If you don't, then just refund the ticket, whatever. But, I mean, I can see them not playing it in Pittsburgh because that gives the Steelers a fair advantage, you know, so I get that. But, yeah, I was more so moving it to a neutral site more than anything else. But you're right. The whole NFL playing the game, I'm okay with them playing it, just not – and no, just not so close to where all the disaster is. That's just my point, you know, my opinion.
Yeah, and I, you know, I thought moving the game maybe to Philadelphia would have been a very fair thing to do. You know, you put it in a neutral site. It's an NFL stadium. It's all prepped for NFL teams, and the Eagles wouldn't have been playing there yesterday anyway because they're playing tonight. But you know, just the fact that, you know, and Peter King did a fabulous job today in his Monday Morning Quarterback. I think he outlined maybe five or six different Giants fans and in terms of what they were going through. And it was just heartbreaking to read some of these stories about, you know, the one guy who was working at a retirement facility for the elderly, and his home was completely trashed. He was sleeping in an office in a chair each night. He said he'd gone 3 or 4 days without a shower, and it was the first Giants game he was going to miss in forever. And again, here we are, you know, as much as you and I love football, we're also human beings, and we understand that there's a time and a place for it. And they really, this was about getting this game in, getting the money shots of Goodell and the big flag out there and everything else. And yeah, I'm thrilled to death the Steelers won, but I will go to my grave saying this game should have been moved or should have been postponed a little bit.
Yeah, you're right. And I mean, the NFL, they can bark all they want about we care about the community and we give $1 trillion to this and that charity. But the fact is, you know, there's people out there right now still that, you know, can't take a shower. They can't drive to work. They don't even have a job because their job was destroyed. I mean, it's just, and you've got these million-dollar players out there playing a game. You've got, you know, you know, the commissioner who makes more money than God out there just flaunting himself around like, oh, we care about the community. Let me give you a picture of me with you to make you feel better. I mean, give me a break. So I'm going to shut up or else we're never going to stop on this topic.
I know it. Let's move on to better things. Jeez, I'm the same way. He's driving me nuts.
Wait. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I guess there was a game played.
There was a game, believe it or not.
All right. I totally lost my train of thought here. All right.
Well, here's one for you. What about the field goal, the fake field goal?
Oh, my God. Yeah, we might as well, because this whole show is just blown completely out of water now. So we're just going to run with it and see what happens. But
ranting.
We're ranting all night. Yeah, you put up an article today on the homepage of SteelerAddicts.com about the fake field goal, right?
Yeah. I was incensed when I saw it, and I was still a little bit grindy this morning.
I was going absolutely berserk last night because, you know, you work so hard to get down there. You know, it's third down, you don't make it. You know, you've got a field goal kicker who's missed one the entire year. I mean, obviously, you know, that close, it's a chip shot. It's guaranteed tie up the game. You know, there's enough time left, you know, still. But you get the score tied. It's a new ball game. And he comes out there and puts it in the hands of Sean Sweezy, who's probably never had a carry in his entire life. I don't know what he was like with the Redskins. But, I mean, I guess in theory, if, you know, maybe in the first quarter, if you want to do something tricky and stupid, then go ahead and call it. But I absolutely hated the call. And I tell you, even if you would have made it, I still would have hated it just because it's such a risk. And, you know, I mean, I think in theory, from the snap to the hold to the toss into Sweezum's hands, it was good. It was pretty. It was kind of neat to look at. But then the blocking just went to total hell, and Sweezum didn't have a chance. I mean, he had no chance at all. And then, you know, thank God the Steelers defense bailed out Tomlin. But, yeah, that was just a disaster. And I saw a few fans today on Twitter barking about, oh, well, it's a great call. It's a gutsy call. It's I want to win call. I'm like, no, it's a moronic call. You don't do that kind of crap when you're on the road, you're down in a hostile environment, and, you know, it's late in the game right now. Take the easy points and then try and play defense.
And you're exactly right. And what I kind of built on in the article today was the fact that, you know, just a week ago, there were a lot of discussions with some of the NFL writers about, do you really need the extra point anymore? Because it's got a percentage chance of like 98-something percent that it's going to be made. Even if they're missed, it's usually because of a bad hold. Rarely are they ever blocked. Well, lo and behold, we got one last week, but let's face it, even Kai Forbath, the Redskins kicker, said I slipped and I kicked it right into the line.
Right.
Be that as it may, my argument last night was simply that you had a third and one and didn't get it and called a pass play that just wasn't there. And then, you know, if you're really going to do that, the defense is not going to line up 11 guys to try to block that kick because they know that it's basically an extra point, and the chances that they're actually going to block that are slim to none. So they're going to drop off their two wings, and the safety and linebacker will be sitting back there watching just in case anybody's crazy enough to call a fake field goal. And like you said, boy, it was pretty. You know, Butler, the little flip over the shoulder to Sweezum, and then all of a sudden, Sweezum, he looked like this guy that was coming home from an all-night bender running down the street. You know, I mean, his arms and legs flailing everywhere. and just, you know, and that's the other thing, too. You're going to run a fake field goal, and you're going to give the least athletic guy on the field the ball? I mean, come on. You'd have been better off giving it to Willie Colon.
That's what I'm saying. Well, you know, and those fake field goals are fake punts. I mean, if you're going to ask the guy to pass, that's one thing. You know, you can practice that kind of stuff.
Right.
And, he could probably complete a 5-yard pass for a touchdown. But asking him to run for one when you've got 300-pound guys running down just to absolutely dismember him on contact, yeah, I absolutely hated the call. And after the game, he was asked about it. And Tom was like, oh, I made the call because I knew my defense would back me up, and they did, but it's on me. And I'm like, yeah, dude. I mean, he made a gut check call like that with that 54-yarder several weeks ago with Sweezum, and he missed it, and the defense didn't bail him out. This time the defense was obviously playing better. But, man, I mean, that's an awful big chance because one of the biggest momentum swings in the NFL is a blocked punt, a missed kick, you know, some type of fake that blows up in your face and you come away with no points. I mean, I'm telling you, it was a disaster in the making. Thank goodness we held on to win, because if we didn't, everybody would have been lynching Tomlin this morning.
Well, no doubt about it, and I think the other thing that factors in there too is this team was down 20-10. They got the great play from Roethlisberger to Wallace, and then they're driving again after the punt return by Sanders, who, by the way, for the second straight week, tackled himself essentially on a big return.
Yeah.
He's hilarious. But you got all this momentum. Just if you're not going to make a worthy attempt at going for the first or slash touchdown, then kick the damn ball. You got a 20-20 tie. You're starting fresh. You got all the momentum. I mean, all it would have taken was one first down from the Giants, and that would have killed any of the momentum of stopping them down there. Again, like you said, great job by the defense. They bailed out Tomlin. They forced the punt and came down and scored the winning touchdown. But, you know, this game, like I said, it comes down to just a matter of a handful of plays every single week. And I admire his aggressiveness. I just don't think it was at the right time and it wasn't in the right place.
No, it wasn't. And something else on defense yet, but before we move over to the offense, was Ryan Clark's helmet-to-helmet hit. Dude, absolutely disgusting play. I mean, this is a case in point right there where you should be able to review personal foul calls. I'm sorry, it doesn't matter what it is. Those are too huge a penalty right now. It's an automatic first down, you know, whatever the case is. But my goodness, I mean, it wasn't even close to being helmet-to-helmet. I mean, it was ridiculously not anywhere near Cruz's helmet. It was shoulder to rib. More or less textbook. I mean, obviously, you know, Clark was going in for the kill shot, and I love it. I get it. I think it's great. But, hey, that's just me. But still, the point is that he said after the game that he's like, look, I did what I was supposed to do. I didn't lead with my head. I didn't go after his head. I planted my shoulder into his chest like I'm supposed to. He went down. His ribs hurt, blah, 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 blah. That's what you're supposed to do. And then he gets the flag. It was absolutely guaranteed a reputation flag and nothing else, because it's just like when Harrison comes in for a sack, the official is reaching for the flag before he even gets the hit on, and that's exactly what it was last night. And that's, it, I mean, that was a potential game changer. And then, of course, you know, now, like I wrote about that in an article this morning, that play actually worked out in the Steelers' favor because Cruz was hearing footsteps the rest of the night. And I think that, in combination with the rest of the defense, really helped the Steelers out, because that's what Pittsburgh is. We knock your brains out, we hit you hard, and then, you know, it affects you the rest of the game. That's what this defense was built on, and they can't do it as much as they used to because they're so afraid of getting a flag and getting a fine and everything. But obviously, you know, Clark's not going to get a fine for that hit, although I'm sure the league will review it and maybe find some way to slap him on the wrist. I don't freaking know, but
yeah.
Horrible call, horrible call.
Well, no, you nailed it on the head in your article today, and Dee Dee brought it up when I was talking to him on Trib Live today, exactly what you had mentioned, that it was clear that Cruz was affected the rest of that ball game. He had alligator arms on at least two other passes. I think it even got to some of the other guys like Nix and I can't think of the kid's name from LSU there, the rookie receiver, but They were clearly not in any hurry to go over the middle, and I think the Clark sent that clear message. And I did you catch the comments that Clark believes the officials were actually talking about keeping a specific eye on him last night?
I saw it.
The game. You know, now look, that's not uncommon. If you're a football person, then you know good officials will look at the teams that they're officiating, and they will say, hey, you know, we got a guy here that tends to get his hands out a little bit, and you know, we got to be careful about the holding calls, or these DBs tend to get their hands on guys past the 5 yard. That's common.
Yep.
But you know, if that's true that they were doing that, and that was within earshot of Ryan Clark, then that's not professional, and that's not right. That stuff that you do beforehand in the locker room for the officials, you do it in the end zone while the teams are warming up at the other end of the field. You don't do it within earshot of players. It's just not right. And be that as it may, he did everything he's been told to do by the commissioner, by the league, by his coaches. He went with his shoulder. He buried it into the midsection. I mean, it was a textbook hit. And that flag, you're right, that flag was coming before Clark even hit him, I think.
Yeah, it was completely just a horrendous call. Everybody knew it. I mean, people who aren't even Steeler fans were barking on Twitter today about, you know, it wasn't a penalty, and it wasn't. I mean, you can be a Steeler lover or a hater, but the fact is, if you're a football fan and you know anything about the rules at all, you know it was a perfect hit. It was a clean hit. It's the way that the Steelers play football, and the way that I'm sure they'd love to play football more often. But you know, they get a little gun shy. Even the big hitters like Clark and Harrison, these guys are gun shy now. But you know, when they get a chance to make a hit, they're going to take it, and you know, God help them if they get a flag or what, but they're going to do it. And it's hits like that, you know, you can that build your reputation back up as a mean defense. And you know, when you do that, and offenses know, you know, especially young receivers and even veterans like Cruz, you know, guys that have been there for a while and done it, when you know that a guy is coming to absolutely blow out your mind as soon as he gets the chance to, you know, it makes you nervous, and you know, it's only human. I mean, if I'm coming across the middle and I know Ryan Clark is about to knock me into next week, I'm going to shy away too and just curl up in the fetal position probably.
I got to give these guys, and I know I'm sounding like a homer, but you know, it is what it is. James Harrison has made a clear effort this season to not pound away at guys the way he once did. We saw it in the Eagles game when he pulled up on Michael Vick a couple of times. I've seen it several other times where he has made a very clear point to not lead with his helmet. And I can see Clark is trying to do the same thing, too. And look, are they going to be perfect every time? No, they're not, because they've been doing it the same way for 25 years. So it's going to take time, but at least they're making the effort to fall in line with what the commissioner wants. And hey, they're still grown men. They're still going to play the game hard, and they're still going to be big hits. It's just these officials are in such a damn hurry to throw the flag because they're just automatically going to assume, well, it's got to be, you know, helmet to helmet because it was such a big hit.
Yeah, I mean, the Steelers are always going to be are always going to be at the forefront of those type of things. Their reputation for the last few years and really over the decades just, you know, is, you know, it precedes them, and they're never going to live it down, but they're doing the best they can. Sometimes you're going to get nailed with a flag, sometimes you're not, but you know the Steelers are not a dirty team. We all know that. You know, these guys are not out there to kill each other, but they are out there to put a big hit. I mean, these guys are getting paid millions of dollars to knock you silly in a legal way, and that's fine with me. I mean, personally, I miss seeing, you know, James Harrison pile drive Vince Young into the turf. I loved it. It's one of the best things I love about football. But we're never going to see it again as long as Goodell is commissioner. So, you know, we can scream about it, and trust me, I do every freaking game every week. But it's not going to change. It was a horrible call. Thank goodness it didn't cost us in the end. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, it is what it is. The Steelers at least are starting to get back to, you know, what we've known and for them over the years, and you know, little by little they're on their way back, and it's nice to see them stepping up and making plays and you know and laying out the big hits. Let's go over to the offense here, since we've been ranting for so long now here. The Steelers running backs, I mean, this is more like a mash unit now than ever before. Dwyer didn't play, Mendenhall didn't play, Redmond has a bad ankle, but he played last night. And of course, you know, Rainey goes down with, you know, everybody was scripted. Who in the world started that rumor about his punctured lung? Did you see that?
Boy, I'll tell you what.
Oh, my God. Like, that caught on with, like, wildfire. I'm like, where did this come from? And, like, it's bruised ribs.
Well, I think what happened was, you know, they showed the replays of the tackle in which, quite frankly, you could have called two late hits, including one where the Giants player kind of went in late and buried his helmet right into Rainey's helmet. But then as he got to the sideline, he kind of collapsed so quickly, and then they immediately panned over within seconds later and showed all these guys praying. Well, you know, that's not very common. You see that in cases of, like, paralysis or you know, something like that where these guys will pray. I mean, you know, Rainey just got to the sideline and collapsed. I've seen guys do that before.
Yep.
To start praying, and so my guess is that someone just, you know, was trying to play Twitter doctor and decided, well, it's got to be a, you know, a punctured lung or something like that. And as it turns out, it sounds like it is bruised ribs, and have they made a decision on him for next week?
They did not, although Rainey said I think it was on his Facebook today, but I can't remember if it was Twitter or Facebook, but he said that he's got bruised ribs and he'll be sore for a few days, but he didn't speculate anything beyond that. So I guess it was Dejan wrote an article last night that I tweeted about too, and you know he was like, everybody just stop with this rainy lung talk, he's fine. Apparently he was talking to Dejan after the game, he was laughing about everybody thinking he had a punctured lung. I don't friggin' know.
Well, yeah, because they even made comment that that Rainey was in the locker room laughing with the guys afterwards because somebody had reported, in fact, I think, I want to say it was Tunch and Wolf, somebody gave them information that he was on his way to the hospital.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, because I was listening to Tunch and Wolf like I usually do, by the way. Our good friend Craig Wolfley, sideline knocker, great guy. But yeah, he reported. Now, I don't know if somebody told him or if he heard the trainers over, you know, talking. I don't know, but you're right. He reported that Rainey was on his way to the hospital because the team was having problems getting his jersey off and his pads because he was in so much pain. So I tweeted out, I'm like, you know, Tunch and Wolf says Rainey's on his way to the hospital with bruised ribs, and that's what I said. So, yeah, I don't know, but you're right. I guess people took it and ran with it. But, apparently he was laughing after the game that it's not that big of a deal. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if he'll play because sore ribs can really suck, but – either way, it's not something that's going to keep him out for more than, a week, I would say, at the most, at least I don't think.
Yeah, I don't think so either, and I think, we'll talk a little bit about the Chiefs here shortly, but it's the kind of game that worries me, if he's injured slightly, and Brown's injured slightly, and Will Allen's injured slightly, it worries me the psychological message it sends if you sit all these guys, because I think you're telling the rest of the team, we don't need all of our guys to beat these guys. And of course, we know we played a very tight one last year when we thought the same thing. So, I'm not sure. I mean, I think maybe he comes in just on kickoff returns, or maybe just gets a few carries or something. But, with badly bruised ribs, man, that's going to last a while.
Yeah, I tell you, Isaac Redman, was really the only healthy starter with any experience. The guy just came in and rushed 26 times for 147 yards. That's, a 5.7 average. Of course, he had the one touchdown there in the game, too. But, man, he came out and made a statement. And, I don't think he went down in the backfield but maybe once or twice when the penetration just got there. But even then, he was falling forward. He was pushing the pile. I mean, that's what you saw him do last year and the year before in the action he gets. The guy that you're used to seeing, he just moves the pile. And, it was nice to see because the offensive line was blocking out of their minds in the run game. Redman was just on fire. And it was a night when he absolutely had to have a good run game to stop that Giants pass rush. So Redman played out of his mind, game of his life, career high, 147 yards in a game. So it's nice to see him have a good game. He said before the game or earlier in the week, this past week, that he's not going to be completely healthy till the end of the year either, until the offseason comes. So, Dwyer, with that quad injury, we have no idea what he's doing this week. I doubt Mendenhall plays again. So, yeah, I have a feeling it could be Redman again and maybe Baron Batch, with some Rainey on, the returns or something. I don't know, dude.
Yeah, I'm not real sure either. And obviously you got to do nothing but applaud the effort of Redman. I mean, he really was a facsimile of Dwyer the 2 weeks prior. I mean, he gets hit, but he finds a way not to get 1 or 2 yards, but he's getting 3 and 4 and 5 yards. And some of the spin moves last night and just an incredible performance. I mean, he averaged almost 6 yards a carry, and I really thought the Steelers' blocking scheme had the Giants completely screwed up. I mean, we were pulling and trapping from different angles all night long. We were using guards and tackles. We were using tight ends and fullbacks in the trap game. I mean, it was really, really fun to watch from that perspective. And give a little bit of credit, too, to Will Johnson. Holy cow, has this guy kind of come out of nowhere?
Yeah,
a former receiver, I think, at West Virginia. I mean, he is just lighting people up in the running game. He's doing a nice job out of the backfield. He had one, ball that he dropped, which was kind of right in his midst. But hey, that's a fullback for you. But kudos to him too. He's doing a fine job.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the Steelers' run game now with the first time since Willie Parker, and I want to say 2007, that the Steelers have had back-to-back-to-back 100-yard games, mm-hmm. which is just crazy to think about it, but it's true. Redmond just on fire last night. The whole offensive line is just really, really starting to come together. Cologne is just flat out nasty. Starks is his usual reliable self. Pouncey's back. Foster's playing well. Adams had some hiccups in this game. He seems to really start out slow here. I mean, he's been the starter the last 3 weeks. And, you know, the first quarter, he just seems to get his butt handed to him. I mean, he whiffed on so many blocks. I mean, it's like he was standing still, and, you know, whoever it is running right by him. I'm like, oh, my God, dude, do something. Because he gets owned. He's not too bad coming around the outside. You know, he's pretty much able to walk the defender, the pass rusher, out of the play. But if they do an inside spin move, man, he is just toast.
Really? He is, you know, and that's one of the areas he's got to work on, and you know, I'll bet you he'd be the first to tell you that. He does get his feet a little bit too tight, and he loses that good wide base. But I'll say this for the kid, too, and I know Lance, our friend, pointed this out today as well. On the 3rd-and-9 pass play of Sanders that essentially clinched the game, he was outstanding in protection right there. And much like what you're saying, he seems to get better as the game wears on. Now, the one downside of last night, if there is one, was the fact that Heath Miller was not a huge impact in the passing game, at least not as much as he's been. And certainly that was because he had to stay in and help quite a bit more than he had the previous couple of weeks with Adams in there. But that's a minor thing when you're still able to complete passes to guys like Wallace and Cotchery and Sanders. So the kid's coming along fine. I think he's going to be a good one. I don't know that he's going to be the next Anthony Munoz, but he's going to be okay.
Yeah, I think so too. And I think the Steelers are just going to have to be resigned to the fact, if they aren't already, that early on in the game, you're just going to have to stick Paulson or Heath Miller over there and just let him help him out. You know, the guy's a rookie, so every time he goes against the team, it's something new he's never seen. Every pass rusher has their own style. You know, you got different sizes, different speed levels, different experience levels. So, you know, everybody has a favorite move, and he just has to learn. And, you know, once you get about a quarter or so under your belt, you're like, okay, he's doing this in this situation, this in that situation. Then you can start to adjust yourself a little bit more, and you can see that with him. He gets more confidence as the game goes on. And, you know, Heath Miller still had 4 catches for 48 yards.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I am perfectly fine with letting a tight end over there for as long as he needs to, because there's a lot of other weapons, and obviously Heath can still get in on the game, and, you know, and especially in the red zone and whatnot when they need to. But, yeah, I think Adams, I have to think this is probably Adams' job to lose right now, which is really crazy because Gilbert was a second-round pick. So, I mean, whenever Gilbert gets healthy, it's a good problem to have, but I don't know that you take – you know, Adams out of the game right now. I just don't think you really can. I mean, Gilbert's not bad, but I like Adams simply for the fact that he's not injuring the rest of our players every time he goes down. So,
you know, it's another thing we brought up earlier on the show with Didi is, you know, do you mess much with this offensive line, because it's doing so darn well right now, and you know. Obviously, you lose some things if Legursky has to come in and fill in for Pouncey. I do think Legs does a nice job calling the blocking, but you know, and I think this also allows for David DeCastro to take even more time to get himself 100% if they even choose to bring him off of that list. So, you know, at some point Gilbert's going to come back, but so far, so good with the rookie. The line, obviously, in the running game is just fantastic. And, you know, at some point, somebody's going to find a way to shut him down a little bit. And what that's going to mean is Kugler and the line are going to have to adjust. And you know, it sure helps having 7 back there to win you a few games and throw the ball if necessary.
Oh, yeah, no doubt about it. Ben had a very workmanlike game. He was 21-30, 216 for a couple of touchdowns, and then that one bad interception. You know, it wasn't his greatest night stat-wise, but when he had to make those third-down passes, when he had to make the big play, he was there. He was money like always. The man's on pace to really have a career year. I absolutely love what he's doing. You know, and, you know, we would be remiss if we didn't talk on the show a little bit about that godforsaken, horrific fumble / incomplete pass, in which, you know, I rarely listen to the network announcers because I always like Tunch and Wolf. But I was listening to Sims for a little bit, and he was barking in our favor about, oh, it was not bad. Call Steelers got hosed. It was an incomplete, blah, blah, blah. And then after about 10 minutes of his rant, he must have got a whisper in his ear telling, you know, with the NFL telling him to shut the hell up. So then he ends up turning his, you know, they put on a replay, and, oh, well, Ben lost control of it, so that's why Bill Levy called it a fumble even on the review. I'm like, it was coming out of his hands. His hand was going forward. That's an incomplete pass no matter how ugly it looks. And, yeah, it was absolutely horrifically – oh, my God, it was such a bad call. And I was going bonkers on Twitter, and I was posting on the game day thread, and I was screaming my brains out. You cannot be serious that that's a fumble. I absolutely could not believe it. I couldn't.
Even if Levy wanted to make the argument that the ball was moving in the hand, okay, was there conclusive enough evidence to overturn the call? And in my opinion, yes, because his hand was moving forward. You could actually see him re-grip the ball.
Right.
And then kind of throw it into the ground. And, you know, as he had Umanura, hanging off of him, and you're so right about Sims. And you know what? I almost don't even blame him. I agree. I think what happened was he had been hard on the officials on the Ryan Clark hit. He was hard on him on the pass interference on Lewis before that. And I think when he started in on Bill Levy on this call, I guarantee, and I'll take this to my grave, too. I'm taking a lot of things to my grave tonight. I have no doubt that somebody got in his ear, as you just said, and said, Phil, you got to lay off the officials. You got to change it up a little bit. Whether that came from somebody at CBS, whether that came from somebody at the league, I don't know, but I guarantee it happened because he was so in favor of it being incomplete. They went to commercial, they came back, and he was completely flipped around the other side.
Yep.
And I was just at that moment. I said to myself, "It there's no question this thing is set up in terms of what he's supposed to say and not supposed to say. No doubt in my mind."
Yeah, it was nice to see him take the side of the Steelers for once and realize that Pittsburgh was getting hosed on so many calls. But, yeah, I said that on Twitter, too, I think, or on the game day thread or something I was talking about. Yeah, the NFL just whispered in Phil Sims' ear telling him to be quiet. And, I mean, it was just a bad call. I mean, you can rationalize it anyway but a fumble. Even when you look at it and review it, I can't even take it. It just irritates the hell out of me to even think about it. But the Steelers had so many things going against them in that game, but they were able to persevere. And I tell you, on that last drive, for the go-ahead score after they were ahead 24-20, and then the offense just really stepped up. They had to get one more first down because the Giants, I think, had one more timeout left at the time when he hit Sanders on that long pass play for the first down.
Yeah.
It was just great to see the offense really be able to put the pedal to the metal and really put this game on ice at the two-minute warning when the Giants burned their last timeout. So it was great to see the offense really, really had a solid game. The defense came to play, special teams minus the blunder. We're really awesome. The return game, my God, Emmanuel Sanders and Chris Rainey had over 200 yards in returns in that game. It was just incredible. Rainey is just itching to break one. I mean, he's so close, and hopefully he can come back and do it. Sanders, man, I'm sure he caught a hell of a lot of flack for letting the punter catch him, dude. He had to.
I'm sitting here, I know I mentioned it was a punt return. I think it was last week he had caught a pass on the sidelines and literally just was tripped by, I don't know, back in my day we used to call that, you got tripped up by Johnny Blade of Grass. and of course, last night, playing on the artificial stuff there at MetLife, he just simply ran out of gas. Weatherford, and Weatherford did a fine job. He got him into the corner there. He made him slow down. He made him cut down the angle. He did exactly what he's supposed to do. And of course, Sims and Nance were on Weatherford like he was the greatest thing since sliced bread. Oh, what a great job by the punter. Never mind the fact that Sanders just went all over the field for 68 yards or whatever it was. I mean, it was just pathetic. But, yeah, Manny Sanders, I know he's taking some heat today. I saw on Twitter he was getting a lot of good fun rips at him today, but he deserved it.
Yeah, he did. But, yeah, in the end, the Steelers won the game. We're happy. They're 5-3. A Monday night affair coming up. The next two games are primetime games. You got, of course, you got the Chiefs coming up on Monday night. The trap game, if there is one, simply from the fact of the Steelers are playing well, the Chiefs are just horrifically bad, and Matt Castle's a joke. The Chiefs right now are a joke. I feel bad for Romeo Crennel, because the guy is generally a nice guy, but this team is just a disaster right now. I mean, if they don't have Jamal Charles and Dwayne Bowe, they got nobody, dude. I mean, they just got nothing on offense. But, you know, just to kind of look at this game for just a minute or two here before we wrap it up, this is a game where I don't care what anybody says, Todd Haley has this game circled on his calendar. I know he does. He's never going to admit it. He, you know, coaches, especially with the Steelers and players, they're not going to say, we don't circle games because everybody's an opponent, everybody's equal, right, blah, blah, blah. I guarantee you he's had this game circled, and he's going to have something special for this in some manner, some way, to try and stick it to the Chiefs. I know he is.
Yeah, no, you're right. Couldn't agree more. I think he's definitely thinking about it. Now, whether or not that means that he dials up a few plays to try to run the score up or not, you know, that's to be seen. You know, I've talked about this today. I mentioned it on Twitter. You know, we were in a similar position last year against the Chiefs. We were going into KC. It was a primetime game. Cold, nasty night, if I remember correctly, and I think most people recognize the fact we were just going to go in there and run over these guys and get out of Dodge, and we struggled. I mean, we struggled to handle Tyler Palco. Our offense, you know, our offense couldn't do squat, and I think we got out of there 13-9 victory, and I am in no way suggesting that's what we're looking at this week, but as you mentioned, it's the absolute definition of a trap game. Surrounded by the Giants game with the Ravens on the other end of that sandwich. And if we've got guys banged up and we decide to sit a few, I just hope the message is clear that it's one game at a time and we got to take care of business.
Yeah, fortunately, both of these next two primetime games are at home, which is really nice. You know, Heinz Field, you know, is always rocking for primetime. But yeah, you're right. You can't look past this team. You know, they're going to be desperate. They're going to try and be finding a way to win any way they can get it. I'm glad we're at home this time, but I mean, you have to really, really hope that there's not a letdown from this big win against the Giants and a look ahead to the Ravens. So this is a very tricky game that, in theory, we should blow out the Chiefs 30-0 in this game, but I don't think it's going to be quite that easy. The Chiefs will have something to say about it. I think Todd Haley is going to have something special. And if the Steeler defense can put on the kind of play that they have the last 3 weeks, then the Steelers should win this game pretty easily, but I'm not counting my chickens before their hatch just yet.
No, me neither. Like you said, it's definitely a game that the Steelers should win. They should go in with the mindset that they've gone into the last 3 weeks, that they're going to run the football, they're going to play great defense, and they're going to dictate on both sides of the ball to the other team and get out of there hopefully as healthy as possible.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And you're right. This could be a game where if I'm the Steelers, I'm not playing Antonio Brown at all in this game. I don't care. I mean, Cotchery play is more than capable of filling in for a week or, you know, here and there when needed. The guy played great last night. You know, so I am more than happy to see AB sit, even, you know, regardless of what the situation is, because a high ankle sprain is nothing to mess with. I don't care if he's ready or go or not. It's going to be cold in Pittsburgh. Let him sit. Let Cotchery start. You know, as far as Rainey, hopefully he can play. We have no idea who's going to carry the ball this week, but I'm guessing it's probably going to be Redmond again, unless Dwyer somehow gets healthy really quick. But you want all hands on deck for the Ravens in 2 weeks because, you know, but be that as it may, you know, just before we wrap up here, this game for the Chiefs is another must win. I'll say it's a must win, even though it seems like it's an easy win, because, you know, you've worked this hard to crawl back into the situation to get the Ravens in your sights. You've got it now. You absolutely cannot allow yourself to lose to a disaster of a team like the Chiefs and have all that hard work go away for nothing right now. You know, you win this game, you figure the Ravens are going to win their game against the Raiders next week, and then you have them come into your house in prime time and kick the Ravens' ass.
Absolutely. I need to add almost nothing to that. You're exactly right. You know, the NFL is 16 games. Every game really is a must win, but you know, if you go and lay a complete egg at home against the Kansas City Chiefs, then it pretty much undoes everything you did in the last 3 weeks. So I fully expect this team to be ready to go. Home game, prime time, let's get her done.
Right on. I'm ready. With that, I think we will wrap it up because we've gone way too long with all of our rants. So I'm going to blame that one on you, and then we're going to shut up right now. So thanks for listening to Blitzkrieg Radio, everyone. Presented by SteelerAddicts.com. We'll talk to you next time.